podcasts you love. This is the VA Talk Show, where VAs talk the walk. Bandwidth is provided by VANetworking.com, your online community for VAs all over the world.
Welcome to the first netcast of VA Talk Show, which I can't wait to bring across your podcast on a weekly basis. Here's what I've got in store for you for future shows. First off is our Industry VA Spotlight. What's that all about? Well, during this airtime, I will interview a person or place or thing, well, maybe not a thing, who knows, that is involved with the virtual assistant industry. This may be a VA organization who'd like to tell the world about more about their group. I may interview a VA to hear about how they run their business, or even a client who uses a VA. I know I could interview the spouse of a VA and get the inside family scoop behind the scenes. So that is what will be the Industry VA Spotlight and what it revolves around. The next section of the show will feature our guest speaker. I'll do my best to bring speakers to the forefront of the show that can teach, challenge, or motivate you in your business success. Then, since we're all working virtually, I thought I'd bring a regular show called Rock Talk, all about the technical side of things running a virtual business. I did this for all the women listeners, since I know they will be sitting on the edge of their seats waiting to hear Brent Riley's sexy, low voice blast through their headsets. Last but most important to your success on the web will be our WebWise section, where Carrie Flatla and myself will answer all your whys about working on the web, including marketing and business topics. On today's show, our Industry VA Spotlight will shine down on Debbie Tester, representing the International Virtual Assistant Association. Following that, we've got Michelle Jamison, yay Michelle, of MGVA and Associates, who will be talking to us about how to become a multi-VA. Brent is here at Rock Talk to give some VISTA tips, and Carrie and myself are going to introduce to you why you need to be web-wise in your business. Our VA Industry Spotlight today is on a virtual assistant organization to help bring you more information about groups that can help you succeed in your virtual business online. Actually, let me restate that. It's on the granddaddy of all VA organizations called the, drumroll please, International Virtual Assistant Association, or as some have come to know and love it by, as IVA. IVA has been around as long as I can remember. And you can pull up their website at www.ivaa.org. And if you're in the car traveling and listening to this, don't fret, don't worry. All the links we talk about in the show will be on the show notes at www.vatalkshow.com, so you can check it out when you get home. IVA is a nonprofit organization dedicated to the professional education and development of members of the virtual assistants profession, and to educating the public on the role and function of the virtual assistant. And I have to vouch for them here. They are doing a dang great job at it too. And you can read more about them in our show notes. So without further ado, I would like to introduce to you Debbie Tester. Hi, Debbie.
Hello.
It's good to have you on the show. Everybody's, I'm sure, looking forward to all the things you have to tell us about IVAA. How long has IVAA been around?
IVA was incorporated in 1999 and then became officially recognized as a nonprofit in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Back then we had 28 members, and since then our membership has grown to over 750 members in more than 16 countries worldwide.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing how many virtual assistants are around. And you guys, I feel, are the granddaddy of all virtual assistant organizations. So that's showing a good number of VAs out there.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that. And we definitely are dedicated to educating and developing members of our community of virtual assistant profession as well as the public on the role and function of the virtual assistant. So, on the grow.
Mm-hmm. The IVA's philosophy. What's it all about?
IVA is really, as I said before, we're really dedicated to professional education and development of members of the virtual assistant profession, not only of the virtual assistants, but to also educate the public on the role and function of the virtual assistant and how they can work with virtual assistants to effectively grow their businesses as well. So we are out to educate both sides of that coin so that mm-hmm. everyone is more aware of who we are and what we do. And we do that in a lot of different ways, through our educational opportunities, through membership benefits, through presenting and talking at trade shows and conferences every chance we get, just out to keep making it more of a well-known term, well-known industry. And I think as technology continues to grow and evolve, our industry is going to grow right with it because it's a perfect fit.
Yeah, and as a VA, like, the hardest thing is educating people of what a virtual assistant is. And with groups like you around, you're making it a lot easier for us.
Yes. And, you know, I think back in my time in my business, and as, you know, as a virtual assistant, talking to my potential clients and talking to people on behalf of IVA, mm-hmm. 3 years ago, you would get a puzzled look, and people did not know what a virtual assistant was. And today, it's a much more recognized term. People understand are starting to understand more and more of what we do as mm-hmm. virtual assistants. So, yeah, I think the message will continue to expand out there and make it even more well-known.
So tell our listeners here a little bit about what they would get as a member of IVA. I'm a member, and I got to say I really, really recommend it. The RFPs that come through alone are well worth, you know, being a member there. But there's so much more than just finding work through your organization.
Oh, absolutely. First of all, there are two different levels of membership. Whether you are considering a virtual assistant business and maybe have not established your practice yet, or if you are a professional virtual assistant that is currently engaged in running your own practice, there are two different levels of membership, and one of them will work for you. Emerging mm-hmm. members are those that have not yet established their practice. They have lower dues and a little bit more limited access, but they are provided the tools to discuss with other members, ask questions, participate in our Expert of the Month series, access to the message board to get assistance and get questions answered, and participate in our listserv where everybody is very, very supportive to raise questions, answer questions, give ideas on how to solve problems or work through different situations, how to work through technology and tools, that sort of thing. So mm-hmm. as a emerging member, someone who's just getting started, there is a huge wealth of information to help give you the tools to start your business and to get going successfully. And then for the more seasoned virtual assistants, or those that are currently engaged in running their own practice, have what's called a regular membership. And the regular membership does give you access to some more areas of the IVAA site. Regular members are listed in the membership directories, so the general public, if they are looking for someone who does website design, they could search based on that specific criteria. They could look for people, you know, based on what state they're in or what country they're in or what their specialty is. And then additional benefits for regular members is the request for proposal system, the RFPs that you were talking mm-hmm. about. That, mm-hmm. I think, is a very powerful tool for anyone that is a member of our organization and anyone connecting with members of our organization, because it allows the public the opportunity to outline specifically what they're looking for and what they need in services and support, and it gives our members the opportunity to find opportunities that they are qualified for and to respond directly to those potential clients with a proposal for services. Then the client has the opportunity to look at several different options and find the best fit for mm-hmm. them to work with a virtual assistant. So that's a wonderful, strong tool there.
Yeah, for me, that's a great tool. One of the best tools, though, is the networking on the e-list. I can't say how it's a very busy list and just full of knowledge and information that so many virtual assistants out there are sharing. It's a really, really
Absolutely.
Great list to be on.
And I love to watch it every day. I mean, I do not think there's a question that cannot be answered out there by one of our members because, you know, you're looking at a pool of 750 and more members with very unique skill sets, and we all bring something to the table that can help somebody else in our organization. And I think that spirit of giving and sharing and helping is very strong in IVA, and it really shows, especially like you say, in that list.
Yeah, it's a very giving community, virtual assistants, and there's a ton of them on that list. I know whenever I have a question, it's answered within an hour. You've got an answer to your question. So, 10 years ago, there wasn't support like that. Well, actually, you guys were around back then? I can't remember.
Back when?
Well, you were around. How long has IVA been around again? I forgot what you said earlier.
IVA was incorporated in 1999.
Yeah, so you've been around a long time.
Years.
I just didn't find you for a while, that was all. But I'm glad I did now.
You know, we hear from a lot of people. There are people that do what virtual assistants do. In other words, they have a home-based business or a small office of their own providing services to clients. And then they find us either through the trade shows, through the networking, through our newsletter that goes out to, there's distribution over 4,000 people that get the IVACast newsletter that goes out. People learn about our industry from us, and we hear a lot. I didn't know you existed. I didn't know there was a name for this. And that's part of that education piece that we were talking about earlier. We can bring in more virtual professionals and really raise the bar in our industry and provide quality services to all of our clients.
Now, the membership fees, how much is that to join IVA?
Emerging member dues are $60, and those are annual dues. And an emerging member, as they get their business established, can transfer to a regular membership after 90 days.
Okay.
And then the regular membership for the professional VAs who already are running their own VA practice, those the initial dues are $75, and then renewals are $65 each subsequent year.
So it's
really
a great network. So you're doing a lot to promote the VA industry. I know you have the summit, plus you have another online conference, plus all the educational places you speak at and things. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on those?
Absolutely, and I want to add one more thing to that pile of benefits. I didn't mention it right away, but another benefit to our membership is we have a preferred partners program, where we have collaborated with different companies and organizations that align with our needs for serving our clients. And part of the preferred partner program is discounts of at least 20% or greater through those preferred partners. So we're able to pass those discounts on to our members and connect them with tools that they need to run their businesses. So
And that's a great thing for the virtual assistants, because they get some discounts too, right?
Absolutely.
One thing I forgot to ask you, Debbie, training or certifications, does IVA offer anything like that?
Yes. IVA has a couple of different things. We have certification programs, and we don't have our own training program per se, but what we do have is a couple of different volunteer-based programs. One is the mentorship program, where we have people who volunteer that are seasoned VAs that have a few years of experience in their business or more, and we partner them with newer virtual assistants for a mentorship. So they meet together, and it's a six-month program, and it connects the aspiring or new VAs with the seasoned VAs to help them grow their business, ask questions one-on-one. It's a real close relationship that they develop. And the program is a commitment of 6 months, but in most cases it extends well beyond that. It's a long-term relationship that just keeps going, maybe not on such a formal structured basis, but it's an important piece of the puzzle to help bring people through those experiences we all have as new business owners and getting started and that sort of thing. So we have a mentorship.
I wish that had been around when I was starting out, because I'll tell you, that would be ideal.
No kidding.
So helpful.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree. I sure could have used that myself when I started. The other thing we have is not everything is geared towards the brand new virtual assistant. We have a group called the President's Circle, which is a mentorship and collaboration of seasoned entrepreneurs that have at least 5 years of experience. So it's another group that gets together, because the challenges they face after 5 years of business experience are going to be different than the challenges of a brand new startup. So there is these groups that get together, smaller sections in the organization, to help the individuals that fit that group continue to grow. And then going back to these to the training programs, IVA also has collaborative relationships with two training organizations that we have partnered with, and that is the University of Virtual Assistants and Virtual Assistant University. And both of those programs offer discounts and special scholarships and programs to our members. So
we can at least
channel people towards some training opportunities, in addition to all the educational opportunities that are presented all the time through IVA. You know, each month we have Expert of the Month series, where we focus on some area of expertise. We have peer groups that meet. For example, if you are a virtual assistant who specializes in transcription or marketing services, these groups of specialty niches get together on a monthly basis. So we collaborate in a lot of different ways in that respect. And then getting back to the certifications, IVA does have certification programs. We have got three certifications. One is the Comprehensive Certified Virtual Assistant Examination, and it is a very challenging examination to continue to raise the bar on the quality of service that we provide to our clients. So it's a very complex examination process to earn that designation of Certified Virtual Assistant. Another one that is available, and Certified Virtual Assistant is available for members only. The next two certifications are available to the public. It's not just for IVA members. We reach out beyond that. And that is the Certified Real Estate Support Specialist. It goes by the acronym CRESS, C-R-E-S-S. And then the Ethics Check Certification, which also is available to members and non-members.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the Ethics Check, because that's a really... It's something that really every business needs, isn't it?
I think it's a very important examination. It was one of the very first things I did as I began my business, because I truly believe, especially working in a virtual environment, we need to be able to communicate and abide by some seriously strong ethics. Since we are not face-to-face and in our client's office, it's more important than ever to hold that level of professionalism and adhere to the ethics that IVA has established. So we've got the code of ethics that IVA has established that we expect all of our members to abide by. But then there are those of us that take it a step further and go through this certification process and pass a really challenging examination filled with ethical situations to work through.
Yeah, and I know if I was an employer, I'd be picking someone that had the certification over someone that didn't. So I feel it's very important for virtual assistants to look at this program you have and really consider it, because it's really important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yes, those are the different certifications we offer. And then, you had asked earlier about what we're doing to promote the
industry. Oh, about promoting.
Yeah. IVA is doing many different things to promote the industry, just because that is one of those fundamental philosophical issues for our organization. We collaborate and support other well-respected and well-organized VA organizations and events. Every year we offer two conferences. One is virtual and one is live. Attendees at the live conference have included educational institutions, some of our preferred partners, of course, virtual assistants that are members and non-members of IVA. The door is wide open, and we invite anyone who has an interest in our industry to attend. So we've got those conferences. I mentioned earlier the virtual conference is the other way we do it, so that we can meet the needs of our members and the industry as a whole, whether they want to go to a live conference or they are only able to or prefer to do an online conference that they can attend from the comfort of their own office.
And the live one's coming up the 25th, isn't it?
Yes, the live one is coming up, and it starts Wednesday, April 25th in San Francisco. And if you'd like, I can give you the web address real quick of the VA Summit so that our listeners can check it out. And registration is open up until the day before the event.
And I may still be registering last minute.
Wonderful. That would be awesome to get to see you there.
I know. It would be really cool. I really want to attend. It's just all dependent on a few things and not just the weather.
Oh, I can believe it. And, you know, there's every year our program committee has put together a fantastic line of speakers and trainers for this event. It's a very powerful event, not only from the education and the information that you get from attending the conference, but from the networking and the camaraderie and all of those brainstorming conversations that happen long after the sessions are over every day. It's just nonstop energy, action-packed, lots of information sharing. But for anyone that's interested in finding out more about it or registering and considering attending, go check out the website. It is at http://www.vasummit.org.
And that's summit with one T, right?
Yes, VASUMMIT .org.
And we'll put that in the show notes as well.
Wonderful.
I also see you've got a IVA newsletter, and I'm assuming anyone can sign up to that.
Yes, that is correct. IVACast is our official virtual assistant newsletter of our organization. And anyone that doesn't already receive that, you can go to the IVAA.org website, the homepage, and it's on the right-hand side. You enter your email address, and you can subscribe to that newsletter.
And it's a huge newsletter, and it goes out monthly, doesn't it? I can't remember.
Yes, it does.
But it's full of good stuff.
It is. Yeah. It is. There's a lot of great information in there as well. And then also, in other ways that we work on promoting the industry, is that IVA participates in trade shows to represent our industry and reach out and educate the public about what virtual assistance is all about. And several of our members have represented IVA not only at a trade show booth and networking in that kind of an environment, but we've also shared our organization and shared our industry as speakers and trainers and panelists at several conferences.
Mm-hmm.
And we will continue to reach out to the community in those ways to just keep sharing the information about our industry, making sure that companies can realize the power of collaborating and working with virtual assistants, because we're business owners too, and we can provide mm-hmm. them the skills that they could get for the administrative support without having to deal with that overhead and the details involved in having somebody on site or having 10 different people on site. You've got somebody who's marketing specialist or transcription specialist. You know, you throw all these different skill sets together that we can collaborate as virtual assistants with other virtual assistants, can bring all those skills to the table so our clients can get great value for our time and energy as virtual assistants. So it's really exciting, and I just I love sharing that with everyone out there. So you bet.
So Debbie, I really want to thank you for joining us. We'll be having a session afterwards at the forum that people can go and ask more questions if they want.
Wonderful.
So, you know, if we didn't ask all the questions to IVA today, you know, you go ahead and ask them and they'll be sure to answer. I really recommend going to see their website and joining up. It's a great organization. And like I said before, the granddaddy of organizations for VAs. And thanks, Debbie, for being with us and sharing all this information.
Thank you, Tanya. It's been my pleasure. And just as you said, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to post them. I will check in and respond to everything. I'll be happy to answer any more questions.
That's great. And thanks, Debbie.
Thank you.
A big thanks to Debbie Tester, representing the International Virtual Assistance Association, located at www.ivaa.org, for being our virtual assistant industry spotlight this week. Thank you, Debbie. Don't forget to check out www.vatalkshow.com to find out how you or your organization could be the VA industry spotlight in future episodes of the VA Talk Show, where VAs talk the walk.
Are you looking to get out of your 9-to-5 job? Would you like to start your own profitable clerical business? Maybe you are new to the virtual assistant business and looking for templates and resources to get you over the hump of starting your own home-based business. I suggest you take a good look at the virtual business startup system created by Tanya Sutherland, a VA herself since 1997. This system will help any virtual assistant get over the mountains that are involved in setting up a new virtual business. Her 30-day program has been proven time and time again in countries all over the world to be simple, easy, and effective, even for someone who has never owned, managed, or operated their own business. In just 30 days, you'll be well on your way to creating your own financial security without depending on anyone else. Invest in the virtual business startup system found at www.vanetworking.com. You won't be disappointed.
Our special guest today on VA Talk Show is Michelle Jamison, who has been a virtual assistant for 10 years. Her company, MGVA & Associates, located at www.mjva.ca, is a multi-VA business, which is our topic for discussion today. Along with running her practice, she is also an instructor for the online virtual assistant certificate program at Red Deer College in Red Deer, Alberta. You may have heard of Michelle, as she is the author of the popular VA book, The Virtual Assistant's Guide to Marketing, which is offered in our virtual business startup system. And she has been offering coaching and consulting for virtual assistants on the topic of marketing, starting a VA business, and multi-VA businesses for a number of years. She is a graduate of Coach U, where she received her formal training as a coach. Along with all of this, I don't know how you find the time, Michelle, she is also the founder of the Canadian Virtual Assistant Network, located at www.canadianva.net, a network dedicated to providing support and resources to Canadian VAs. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Tanya. Thanks for having me.
No, it's good. I'm glad to have you here today. So, Michelle, you own MGVA & Associates, which is a multi-VA business. Now, what exactly is a multi-VA business?
Well, a multi-VA business is really simply a VA company that has more than one VA providing services to a client. You know, these virtual assistants are normally referred to as associates, you know, and not to be confused, they are not employees of the company, but are subcontractors. And, you know, they really become an integral part of your business. Now, associate VAs work for clients under the company name. Mm-hmm. And provide, you know, a variety of services, or may specialize in one particular service. For instance, you know, I am not a bookkeeper, but I wanted to offer that service, so
right.
I found a virtual assistant whose specialty was bookkeeping, and was able to then offer that services to my existing clients, as well as any newer clients coming to MJVA.
Okay, so that's really good, because now you don't have to turn away clients because you don't offer bookkeeping services, and you can offer more services.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was, you know, really the reason why the whole concept of a multi-VA business came up for me, was because you know, I've been a VA since 1998,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And found that within about 3 years of my business, I was turning away clients because I was, you know, too full to take them on. Or like I mentioned, they were asking for services that I could not provide and do well.
Okay, so that's how you came up with this concept for multi-VA then. It was because you just had so much work piling in and not knowing how to source it out.
Yeah, but I wanted to take take it in a different direction opposed to just simply subcontracting. Mm-hmm. I wanted the individuals who worked for my company to be a huge part of my company. You know, my vision was to have a full service team driven company. And you know, the concept about multi-VA businesses is not to hide the associates and keep them hidden. They, you know, the idea is to bring them out in the spotlight and really showcase their individual talents to prospective clients. So the idea with multi-VA businesses is that it's not about, you know, farming work out, mm-hmm. but about creating a team atmosphere where each VA is recognized for their contribution to the company.
Now, from the client's perspective, what are the benefits of working with a multi-VA business?
Well, there's a lot of benefits for the client. As I mentioned earlier, clients will have a much larger selection of services to choose from. Mm-hmm. And it's not just about the services, but the timelines associated with those services. For instance, if my client comes to me or one of our clients come to me and say, I have this huge research project, I need it completed 3 days. Could you help me out with this? You know, as a multi-VA owner, I can have two or three of my associates handle the project and get it done in that timeline, in a much faster timeline, than if I would be doing it myself. So our clients appreciate the fact that we can achieve the same results, but in a much quicker timeline.
And it's like a one-stop shop for them now, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's interesting because, you know, one of the other benefits is that they have access to a team of professionals. So in essence, they have a ready-made team for their business. You know, and this setup works really well for clients who, believe it or not, want to portray a larger company image. Mm-hmm. So by hiring a team to focus on specific items in their business based on their specialties. So for instance, you would have one of the VAs be the account manager for this company, so they would be the bookkeeper. You would have another VA who would be the marketing director who, you know, who would handle the creation of the marketing materials and mm-hmm. sending that out on their behalf. And so you could really, you know, by utilizing the specialties of your VA associates, you could basically say, here you go, here's your team.
Right.
And
it's perfect, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It is. And you would be surprised at how many clients absolutely love that idea. Because keep in mind of who we're servicing. We're servicing, you know, smaller businesses, home-based businesses. You know, and one of the benefits have always been that they don't have to have the space to bring in someone by utilizing virtual assistants. Well, now they don't have to have a huge office to utilize a team because they've got one already set and available for them.
Exactly. And they need, some businesses just need different, like internet marketing specialists, they need mm-hmm. the bookkeeper, everything. And how ideal to have it all in one stop. And mm-hmm. it's got to save them tons of time too, having to deal with all the different people, because I'm assuming that you'll project manage all these people for them, right?
Yes. Well, and that's up to the client as well. I've had clients who have preferred to manage their team, my associates, themselves directly.
Okay.
And I have also had the opposite where I am the project manager mm-hmm. and I am managing the team for the client. So it really is a personal preference for the client, and it can work either way. You know, my personal preference is really having the VAs work directly with the client.
Right.
What that does is avoid the middleman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but again, it's up to the client and how they want to structure their business and run it. So.
So that makes it really flexible, too, for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so the VAs that you're hiring, you refer to them as associates, which I think is a great word for them. What would they get out of working for a multi-VA business?
Well, I think the first, they get to utilize the knowledge and expertise of the other associates that you have in your company. You know, and I truly believe that that in itself is invaluable. You know, also, they don't really have to work hard to get the clients. Basically, as a multi-VA business and owner, it is up to me to get the clients, to spend the money and time in the marketing so that basically, all the clients are found and are then distributed to the VA associate.
No more marketing. I know in my business, a third of my week is marketing time.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
So if you didn't have to do the marketing, that would be... No. More billing time.
Yes, absolutely. And so it works out fairly well for them in the sense that, and you know what, and there are a lot of virtual assistants. I shouldn't say a lot, but there are a handful of virtual assistants who simply like to, they like the craft, they like the work, but the marketing end they're not so comfortable with.
Right.
And so this gives them an option to still get clients and enjoy the work, but, not necessarily have to go out and do the constant marketing that a lot of us find that we have to do to keep them coming. So, and for my multi-VA business as well, most of the expenses are paid for them. And what I mean by expenses are, if we have a client who needs a special type of software, it is up to me as the multi-VA owner to ensure that VA has the program.
Okay.
Okay, so it's, it's just simply, me going out and getting them the software that they need to do their job.
So there's a little bit of extra overhead on your part, but overall, it all builds into the pricing anyways.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, I know that we're going to get tons of comments on, people wanting to start up a multi-VA business after this talk, but there's got to be some big challenges to overcome, too, to consider. Mm-hmm. What would be some of those?
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for starting a multi-VA business is giving up control. In order to successfully run a multi-VA business, you really have to trust in the ability and the standards of your associates. We all have this tendency to be perfectionists. And especially when our company name is associated with the final product or service. I experienced this myself when starting MJVA and Associates. I needed to see every item that was being returned to the client. I had to manage every aspect of the client VA relationship with my associates. And I was literally burning myself out because of this. It was finally my coach, my business coach, who turned to me and asked me, well, why did you start a multi-VA business if you're going to continue to run it as a solo VA business? And I totally got what she was saying, got the message, and backed off. And, it was the best thing that I could have done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that I have a little bit of problems delegating, so that's why I'm still a solo VA. Well, more an internet marketing specialist now.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, how do you find your associates for your business? I know you just came across me. Your internet marketing associate.
Absolutely.
And you just kind of, if I recall, you contacted me directly.
I did. Uh-huh. I did. And you know what? And you were probably one of the only associates that I have actually contacted directly.
Oh, well, I feel very honored.
Yes. In most cases, it's the associates that are finding me.
Okay.
I have a application on my website for those who are interested in working with MJVA. Mm-hmm. And the response is really good. Like, I normally get at least one application a week, sometimes more. So I really have no difficulty finding associates. And because mm-hmm. I think, you know, being involved in the VA community as I am, I really meet some fantastic virtual assistants. I mean, just awesome, awesome, awesome people. And so I always have this pool to draw from, if I can use that term, you know. And so for someone who is starting a multi-VA business, you know, I would look to VA organizations and training schools. Training schools are a great way to find virtual assistants as associates, because you know what? They're getting the training and they're enthusiastic and excited. They just cannot wait to get involved and start working. You know, and you also need to be open to working with admin professionals who aren't necessarily working virtually, but are interested in working virtually or transitioning into working virtually. You know, my company manager, Laura Sandham, who has been working with me with MJVA for quite a few years now. She was such an individual, and she has been an incredible asset to my business. She was not a virtual assistant when she sent in her application, but she was an administrative professional who was looking to work from home. At that point, she had a little one at home, and I tell you, she has been just a huge, huge asset to my company and the success of my business. And this is ultimately the goal when hiring associates. So
right. So it doesn't sound as hard. I've always seen it as, how am I ever going to find the people to sort or to find as associates? And that's probably been my stopper all along. But it's just a process.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound as difficult as I make it up to be. Yeah. So,
well, yeah, and you know, I think the thing is, you know, well, Tanya, you are out in the VA community every day. You know, I'm sure that you would, if you would just put the word out, you would probably have, you know, 20 virtual assistants knocking on your front door looking to work with you. You know, and you need to also remember that, like you said, it is a process. There is a process to this. There is a hiring process. You know, you want to do the interviews. You want to check references, and you want to outline that relationship. You know, and you don't want to take it lightly. You know, I really encourage when I'm coaching on the subject of multi-VA to multi-VA owners or those who are interested in becoming multi-VA owners, that when they're doing interviews, have a dual interview process where the potential associate is interviewed twice, so by yourself and someone else. You know, I have this arrangement in my business where, you know, Laura will conduct the first interview and I will conduct the second interview with our qualified candidates. You know, we both approach this interview process very differently and ask different questions. So we're able to get different perspectives. You know, and if you don't have a second person, you know, look to a fellow VA who you trust,
right?
You know, or coach that you're working for, or I mean, hey, I'll even do it for you. Just send.
Now be careful. Don't put that. Everybody will be calling you after the show.
Just send me an email, and I'll help you through the process. But just as long as you get another person involved in it.
Okay, so now the concept itself sounds simple enough, but I'm guessing it is more involved than meets the eye. How is the multi-VA business structured?
Well, there are two ways that you can structure your multi-VA business. And you know what? And you may come up with other ways that work for you, but these are the two common ways that I've used, you know, and that is you have the associates contact the clients directly, you having the initial contact with the clients, and then have the associate connect with them and introduce themselves and begin that whole associate-client relationship. You know, the other way you can structure it is the associates you know, don't really have much contact with the client. All questions, inquiries are filtered through you. Now, I've done mm-hmm. both of these. Quite honestly, highly recommend the first option where the associates are in direct contact with the client. You know, it just makes it makes it more simpler. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still the client developing a relationship with the virtual assistant. And it eliminates that middleman, you know?
Okay. Now, do you find it difficult to define your company to potential clients?
No, not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
You know, when I first started MJVA and Associates, I thought I might have some difficulty defining it. But, you know, I'm very clear and upfront with prospective clients that it is, you know, is not me who's doing the work, but my VA mm-hmm. associates. I have defined my company as a multi-VA company from the start. You know, it's on my website. It's in all my marketing materials. Any form of communication I have with clients, I define the nature of my company and the relationship with the client. You know, again, as I mentioned, being a multi-VA business is not about hiding your associates in the background and giving the client the idea that you are performing all the work yourself. Because number mm-hmm. one, your client's not dumb. They're going to catch on to the fact that, you know, you can't possibly do everything by yourself. You know, mm-hmm.
It's funny you say that, Michelle, because I had a client, internet marketing client, and they weren't going to hire me because they said, I don't know how you do it all.
Mm.
They didn't realize that I outsource
yep.
because I'm not a multi-VA. I do outsourcing, which is, you know, it's a lot different because no one knows who I'm sourcing to, right?
Yep.
And they were on the verge of not hiring me because they didn't think I could handle it all
yep.
until I said, well, I actually source out some of my work.
Yeah.
Right? And then that raised questions. Well, who do you source to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so at that point, probably having a multi-VA business probably would have landed that client. I don't think I did land it. I can't remember. But yep. I think that's more what they were looking yep. for, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the thing is, too, is that the, you know, all my associates are on my website. You know,
mm-hmm.
their names, their bios, you know, what they specialize in. So when I have a visitor come to the website, they see my team. And they see that, you know, they could be working with this person or that person. You know, so it's really about just highlighting your associates' talents.
Now, this sounds really interesting. Everybody's going to be wanting, again, like I say, to start up a multi-VA business. But I'm sure it takes a ton of hard work. Like with every business venture, there's pros and cons. What are some of the pros or... easy, but what are some of the cons to being a multi-VA business owner?
Well, you know what? The pros definitely outweigh the cons, but I think
mm-hmm.
one of the cons would be the overwhelming responsibility that you feel for your associates. You know,
right. Okay.
In the beginning, you know, I felt this huge need to work very, very hard to find my associates' clients.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not to grow my business, but to ensure that my associates had work, you know,
right.
and you really can't look at, you know, it from that point of view. You know, yes,
mm-hmm.
it's nice to give your associates clients, and this is ultimately what you want to do, but you cannot take on that responsibility for that associate's business success.
Right, you're not their employer.
Right, right, or
mm-hmm.
else you have, you know, you have... a huge expectation you can't possibly meet and will literally drive yourself insane. So
mm-hmm.
as a multi-VA business, you need to define the associate relationship from the get-go. You know, that you do not guarantee clients, number of hours, etc. You cannot possibly guarantee this. You know, it's very unrealistic. You know, our businesses are client-driven. And I think, you know, one of the questions that I get asked quite a bit is, well, aren't you worried that your VAs will walk away with your clients? Well, you know, yes, this is a con mm-hmm. of owning a multi-VA business, you know, but it's not something that I worry about too much. You know, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You know, all I can do is hire the best individuals I can hire, set the foundation for the standards and ethics for my company, you know, outline the working relationship between client and associate, ensure that I am involved in that relationship. You know?
Right, so have some kind of contract or something,
yep.
Michelle?
Yep, I of course have a contract. You know, but if a client turns around and leaves your business and mm-hmm. takes the VA associate with them,
right?
You know, outside of your client for one reason, or your company for one reason or another, you can't possibly stop this from happening.
No, and I've always said, you know, I outsource stuff as well to people, which is on a totally different level, but if they want to go with the other VA, you know, I don't want someone working with me anyways that doesn't want to work with me.
Absolutely.
So if they want to go with that VA, then that should be their privilege. You know, it's just who wants to work with someone that doesn't want to work with you?
Yeah. Right? Well, that's it. That's it. And you know what? In all my years that I've owned a multi-VA business, this has happened to me once. You know,
right.
I was very hurt, you know, not by the financial loss. Because quite honestly, it wasn't a huge financial loss at all to me. But I felt this overwhelming feeling of being betrayed. You know, and it was, I lived with it. I learned from it. And then I continued on and got over it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know what I was going to ask. Now, the VA charges the person themselves? Is that how it works?
No.
No?
Everything is done through my company.
Okay.
So we provide the invoicing to the clients. So what happens is the virtual assistant keeps track of the time that they are working with that client.
Mm-hmm.
The virtual assistant associate then sends my company their hours that they've put in.
Okay.
As well as their invoice.
Okay. Now, does everybody, I guess everybody has different hourly rates as well, possibly, depending on their niches, correct?
It depends. It depends on how you structure your company.
Right.
In some cases, you know, with my company, there could be varying rates. For instance, like I mentioned, Laura, mm-hmm. you know, she's my manager, you know, so ultimately, and she only works for MJVA. Mm-hmm. So her fee is structured a little bit differently than what the other associates would be. Mm-hmm. And so it should be. But yes, so again, it depends on how you structure your company. But for most of the part, you will find that, your associates will pretty much all have the same rate.
Now, Michelle, I know you're a coach and consultant. And after this talk with multi-VA businesses, we're going to need someone to help us. Do you coach or consult on this topic at all?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? It's interesting to me because this topic is getting more and more popular.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are a lot of VAs out there who are reaching a point in their practice that, you know, they're looking to transition into a multi-VA business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been coaching and consulting for quite a few years, and this topic, you know, I've actually been doing quite a bit of coaching and consulting on recently. So, it's a hot topic.
You know, I know when I first became a VA, you know, my goal was to have 100 VAs working underneath me. I wanted to have this huge VA, mm-hmm. but there was nothing out there to help me along the way, to show me, to coach me, anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good to see that now someone's talking about it. I also hear you're writing a book on the topic.
I am. Yes. I'm
cool.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping to have it finished by the end of the summer.
So, for a fall
release. You know, this book is also going to be the foundation for an advanced course that I'm creating for the virtual assistant training program.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a great course, and it's also going to hopefully be a very useful book. So
I think this is a really great topic. It's one that I'm sure everyone will be interested in. I know I am. I'm not on that route now with a multi-VA business, but maybe a multi-internet marketing business I will be.
There you go.
But it's just one of those topics that we all dream about. You know, just being a VA, we just aren't going to do that, you know, six-figure income possibly. And knowing that you could do that multi-VA, that's the dream, is always to go that extra mile and make that extra dollar more, right? Mm-hmm. So this is an option for virtual assistants out there now. And now there's a way and a path, and you provide it. So that's really cool, Michelle. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Michelle might have notes. I'm not quite sure. We'll have them all up on the show notes. URLs, links to her website, and maybe a link to how you can find out more about being a multi-VA with you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle.
Well, thank you for having me. It was lots of fun. Yeah. Can't wait to do this again.
I know. And it went so well, too. So that was great. Anyways, that's our featured guest today. This is our first installment of a regular feature we will have called Rock Talk. So let me introduce our Vanna Tech Head with that sexy happening voice, Brent Riley of PCComputerHelp.net.
Hi, hey, Brent. How you doing? Hey, how's it going?
Good. Nice Good. Little romantic Good. Musical intro you got there, Brent.
That you like that,
huh? The women crowd.
Chicks dig it. I'm actually part of the Matrix, but that's another topic. Call me Neo.
Yes, Neo. So all the girls are going to be totally jealous that I'm in the recording booth sitting beside Brent Riley.
Is that you sitting next to me? It kind of didn't look like you, because you're in Canada and I'm here in San Diego.
So what topic are we going to talk about this week, Brent?
All right. Okay. This is a good one. I get asked all the time, should I or should I not upgrade to Vista?
And I should be or should not?
You should not.
Okay. Brent's my techie guy, everyone. So he builds my computers. He tells me when to upgrade and ungrade and all those techie jargon talk.
I always tell you what to do.
Yes.
And sometimes you listen.
Sometimes.
So what do you do? Do you upgrade? What do you do with Vista? So for anybody who has an existing computer, I would say no. The problem with Vista is that you don't really need it. If you're using XP and it's working fine, there's no reason to upgrade to Vista. It doesn't have any advantages over XP unless you're a gamer and you need DirectX 10. But there aren't any really, I think there's one game out that uses DirectX 10, so...
Yeah, and all us virtual assistants are doing.
You're not
so
much gamers,
gaming.
That's right. I know. Solitaire. You don't need a $600 video card to play Solitaire or Mahjong, right? So that's the most important thing is you don't really need it. If it ain't broke, don't there's no reason to fix it. The other thing is the cost. When Vista first came out, it was actually quite expensive. The price is coming down now. I just recently checked. On Tiger Direct, it's they're selling it for $119 for the home premium version.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's an ultimate version, and that one's selling for $199. Then there's an enterprise version, which is for business class. And then there's a basic version, which don't anybody get the basic version, because it's just a crippled version of Vista. I don't know why anybody would want the most basic version of Vista.
So I assume if I'm usually using professional XP, I would probably, if I was going to upgrade, get the Vista Professional?
No, there is no Vista Professional. Yes, they made it very difficult. If you're running XP Pro, the only upgrade you can do is Ultimate.
Okay.
You can't do Home Premium. I know, they made the upgrading very difficult. And then if you're running Media Center, you can only upgrade to either business or ultimate. I know. Don't ask me why they do this.
Well, being that I just upgraded to XP, what, last year?
Yeah, you did, yeah.
Yeah. It'll be a while before I get to Vista.
No, no, no. The other thing is drivers. Drivers are very hard to find. You know, you install a piece of hardware, you install a new printer, guess what? It doesn't work because they haven't made the drivers for it yet.
Oh, that sucks.
Yes, it does suck. And the other disadvantage is software. Software is having a hard time catching up to Vista. And that's the way it always is with the new operating system, with, at least with Windows, is it takes a while for all the hardware manufacturers and all the software manufacturers to catch up. And that's just the way it is. So for the first year, Vista's going to be a hard sell.
Okay.
I actually put it on my laptop, so I have a dual boot, so I can actually boot into XP and boot into Vista.
You're such a geek.
I know. You don't even want to know. We'll have a section later on someday called Tech Head Geekness, and I'll tell you all my creepy tech stuff. It's kind of scary. It even scares me.
I'm sure it is.
I know.
Another show. Yes.
You could be a tech head. Yeah. Anyway.
What about the software? Is that...
Software is a problem. I know for a fact that Quicken...
Yep.
Or QuickBooks does not work with Vista.
Yep.
Only the latest version of QuickBooks will work with Vista, and that's the 2007 version. Any earlier version will not work. So if you get Vista, you bring it home, you install QuickBooks, you want to transfer all your financial, it won't work.
Well,
you're stuck.
That's a good way to get us to all upgrade, isn't it?
Yes, yes. Quicken is actually pretty good at that. They're kind of notorious for making you upgrade.
I know, and the silly thing is once you got one bookkeeping program, you know, it'll do everything the same anyway, so.
It's exactly the same, yeah. They add some new features, you know, they change the color of something, and they add a new button, and then now you have to upgrade, yeah.
Bookkeeping's
so.
Bookkeeping.
Yeah, pretty much.
So any advantages to having?
Oh, of course there is, you know. It's actually really beautiful. It's a very beautiful operating system. It works really well. It has a new file structure, so there is no more My Documents. Things are put into specific folders. So when you import photos, it actually goes into the photo.
Oh, that's cool.
Have you ever done something where you bring it in and you go, where did I put it?
Yeah.
Who knows? And then I can't find it. It's gone. Yes. You know how many calls I've gotten like that? Well, where did you put it? I don't know. Okay. So this one figures it out for you. It actually has a documents folder, download folder, video, movies, music, and photos, and it puts them all in specific folders.
And it just knows that
it's a
JPEG or something. And
yes.
Where to put it.
Yeah, and actually, it has a JPEG editor in it. It's not Photoshop. It's very basic, and it's actually it has some really nice 3D features to it.
You said it is really usable too. Like it's kind of like the Macs?
It is. It looks like it's a very pretty operating system, so it runs kind of like a Mac. Everything is, now the windows open up in special windows, and it just has it's a nicer interface. The start menu has the search feature. As soon as you open start, it goes right to a search, so you just start typing, and it finds anything and everything on your hard drive that relates to what you're typing. No more searching for a document. Yes, I know. And it works. So when you, like, I don't know how many times you've ever, like, tried to search for something in the search, and it just takes 40 minutes, and it doesn't find it, and this one does. It works pretty good, and it works really fast. So
when do you install it on my system?
Probably in about a year.
Aww.
You have to wait a year.
Okay.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend. Now, if you're buying a new computer, that's different. Then you buy one with Vista. Well, I don't even think you could buy a computer with XP anymore. No. They took them all off the shelves.
So what's going to happen when I get my new computer soon?
Yes.
I give my other one to Arnie here.
Right.
He's running XP and I'm running Vista. Is there going to be any communication problems? I mean...
No, actually, the networking works the same. I mean, not the same. It actually works well. You can network them all together. That's not a problem.
By the way, I screwed up our networking, so you're going to have to fix that for us.
Right. I know what I'm doing after the show. Okay. But you need a powerful computer. You need one with 1 gig minimum, 2 gigs to make it run very nice.
Oh, wow. And then,
yeah, I know. It takes a lot of power. It takes a good video card, and it takes a good processor. Mm-hmm. Any sub-powered computer will not run Vista very well at all.
So it sounds like from all this talk, all this rock talk,
yes,
that we shouldn't upgrade for about a year or so.
Probably not.
Okay.
Unless you want to go searching for drivers.
And new software.
Please check your software. All the software you want to use, mm-hmm. make sure it works with Vista. Okay. Over time, everything will work with Vista. It's just right now, it does not.
Yeah. We're all guinea pigs for Vista.
Right. Here's one cool thing in Vista. It keeps versions of everything that you do. So if you're working in a Word document, I don't know if this has ever happened, you delete a paragraph, mm-hmm. you move some stuff around, you accidentally rename it something, and now it's gone. And you don't know what to do, and you know you can't undo or anything. It keeps versions of everything you do.
Oh, that'll be handy.
Yes. You could actually open the Word, go to previous versions, and then it looks for all your previous versions of documents that you used. You just click it, and it opens right up.
No wonder you need such a big hard drive to run the thing.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, and a lot of power. Because it like shadow copies everything that you do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you today for being on the show and talking a bit about Vista.
Sure.
And are you going to come back and talk to us about something else next week?
Oh, I will definitely come and do that.
Oh, good. Okay. So, gals, Brent will be back. And, yeah, that's it.
Oh, wait, I just have to say one thing.
What? What? You always have to have the last word.
Pretty much. How does my microphone sound?
It sounds really good. How does mine sound?
Yours sounds pretty good, too. You know what would sound worse?
What?
A telephone.
There we go. Back to the telephone podcast. If you haven't heard Brent's telephone podcast, go over to Vanna Forum, look under podcast forum, and check it out. He's very proud of it.
Yes. Blownays.
Okay, see you next week.
Bye, Tanya.
Bye.
For allergy relief, try Blownays. Have allergies kept you from enjoying life's finest moments? If so, try new Blownays. Side effects may include watery eyes, sneezing, scratchy throat, dry mouth, hives, facial swelling, asthma, wheezing, shock, bloody stool, menstrual cramps, discoloration of urine, salty breast milk, uncontrollable desire to turn left. Did I mention bloody stool, headache, muscle ache, toothache, all the aches, night blindness, day blindness, blindness in general, blindness, the shakes, uncontrollable yelling, athlete's foot, fungus, foaming from the mouth, lockjaw, lazy eye, the shakes, shingling, rickets, vomiting, and allergies. And watch out for that bloody stool. Ask your doctor for a free sample of Blownays and see if it's right for you.
Why? Join Carrie and Tanya, your hosts of WebWise.
Welcome to the first episode of WebWise with my co-host, Carrie Flatla. Glad we're finally doing a show together, Carrie, after our intro in Dallas. I'm really excited about doing this WebWise show with you.
Oh, me too, Tanya. I think that it's been way too long. We had such a good time doing the presentation on internet marketing in Dallas. And it was good to find out that we do, in fact, have chemistry and that we like each other. So I'm really happy to be doing this with you.
Yeah, it was really important that we found out we liked each other because, you know, even having to room up down in Dallas and never meeting someone before, and it was like, you know, all the...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was worried, like, what if I hated you or you had cooties or something? So
yeah, exactly.
It was a relief to meet you in person and see that you're just as beautiful and intelligent as I thought you were online. So,
oh, thank you, Carrie, and ditto for you.
Thanks. Although I am getting a little fatter now because I'm expecting a baby in September, so.
Yes, I know, and you're expecting that baby on the same day that I had my first. So that's
which kinda... I think it's a sign. I really do. It's all meant to be. So should we tell everyone a little bit about ourselves and how this all came about?
Yeah, you go first. How's that?
Sure. Actually, I kind of fell into internet marketing. My background started out way back in university. I did a business degree, and then I went to the corporate world and worked for the transportation industry for about 3 years and decided that wasn't for me, and we wanted to start a family, so we left the big city and came to Lethbridge, Alberta, and after I had my first baby, he was about 10 or 11 months old, and I decided that I wanted to go into business for myself, and I started doing some research on the internet, and I found VANetworking.com, which is Tanya's forum, as we all know, and that's how I met Tanya. That's how I found out about virtual assistants, and then what started out as what I thought might be just a writing, proofing, editing business started to really evolve into an internet marketing business. And Tanya is really the person who got me interested in internet marketing, search engine optimization, copywriting, a whole world of things that I really didn't know that much about, you know, aside of the marketing basics, I guess, I studied in school. But I just dug in, and Tanya mentored me through a lot of learning curves, and we actually stayed friends after we met each other. So it's great.
And as far as my background in internet marketing, I kind of floated across it too because I wanted to learn. I was doing a lot of web developing, and I wanted to bring those websites up high in the search engines. I went back to university, got my certification as an internet marketing specialist, and started focusing my business on internet marketing and search engine optimization. After quite a few clients came my way and things were looking good, I decided to focus on that and that alone. So that's where I'm at now.
It's yeah. really interesting too, Tanya, because I think that a lot of people in our business will say that they got their foundation through either formal education or some training at a, you know, at a regular job, I guess you could say. And but everyone has a lot of self-study as an aspect of how they really got to be experts in their field. You know, you have to, it's one of those things you have to just dig in and do it.
Mm-hmm. And produce for your clients. And once, mm-hmm. I mean, both of our client lists, we've got a couple of months waiting list for both of us to hire.
Yeah.
Us. And there's a reason for that. We do a good mm-hmm. job.
That's right.
So about this show, Carrie and I are going to try and co-host it every week. We never know with Carrie's pregnancy if she'll be here from week to week, but hopefully for quite a few more months anyways, right?
I'm not throwing up anymore, so that's good.
Yes, that's good.
I won't throw up on the show, I promise. So, Tanya, maybe we should tell everybody what WebWise is all about and how this brainchild of yours got to be online. Tanya's been wanting to do a VA talk show for a long time, and really it's because I think any small business owner, but virtual assistants in particular, because they are expected to be very tech savvy, and their marketing presence depends on a good, solid online marketing strategy. There was just a need. There's just constant questions about how to market yourself on the web and how to do it right. There's so much fiction versus fact out there, unfortunately. And so Tanya and I were finding that, especially through the forum at VA Networking, virtual assistants really want to get on top of this. They want to understand how to build a web presence not only for their own business but for their clients as well. And I think that was sort of the inspiration to do the show, wasn't it, Tanya?
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to have an area at the forum where you can ask us questions that we might feature on other shows coming up. Some topics of interest that I can think of right offhand might be media enhancements for website copy so you get better conversions. There's quite a few things we could do, how to get backlinks and what kinds of links not to bother with.
That's a big one.
Yeah, and how to get good titles and descriptions for your meta tags and different things like that. There's tons of stuff. I'm sure you can think of
more too, Carrie.
Well, that, I mean, the meta tags just leads right into all the questions that come up about keywords. How do I strategize and research my keywords? Why do I need keywords? How do I use them? How do I put them into my web pages and into my titles? Once you've answered those questions, should you hire a professional search engine optimization expert like yourself or myself? Or should you do it yourself? Can you do it yourself and be effective? We'll answer some of those questions for you. And then maybe some more business types of questions, you know, like, why should I niche market on the internet? Yeah. I don't want to leave anybody out. We hear that a lot. You know, I want to make sure that I don't turn anybody away on my website in the way I'm speaking on my website. It comes up all the time. And there are answers to those questions, and we can definitely give some guidance there.
And that's exactly what WebWise is all about, to answer your whys on the web. And I think we'll end it there, Carrie, because next week we'll have a topic. Do go to the forum at the show notes at vatalkshow.com. There's a link directly to the area where you can ask questions for future shows. And Carrie and I will be back to answer those questions for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yeah. And so thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Well, that's a wrap-up at VA Talk Show for today. Thanks to the International Virtual Assistant Association, Michelle Jamieson, and Carrie Flatla for taking time to be with us. Special thanks to Brent Riley for his trusty technical brains, else this informative netcast wouldn't have gotten off of my computer. To all virtual assistants around the world, and until next week, remember to talk the walk. This is Tanya Sutherland, your certified internet marketing specialist and business strategist, saying aloha.